Pastor Leon and his wife Sheila founded Gospel Tabernacle Church in 1982 in the heart of Lawrence, South Carolina. Since then, the Lord has richly blessed and increased the ministry and family of Gospel Tabernacle Church. Here at Gospel Tabernacle, we believe in the power of the Word of God to change the hearts and lives of believers. Gospel Tabernacle is a family church ministering to the whole family through the charismatic teaching ministry. Today's message will grow your faith and draw you close to the Lord as you open your heart to God's Word and His Spirit. Okay, how many brought the most important thing today? Not the hand that I give you, but the Word of God. I hope that you did, because in it is your answer to every single issue of life that you have or will ever face. And so if you would, let's make our confession as we go before the Lord today. Everybody say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I'll never be the same. I'm about to receive the indestructible, incorruptible, ever-living seed, the Word of God. I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. In Jesus' name, shout hallelujah. Amen. That sounded real good. God bless you as you do. Let's get into our Bible today, the book of Genesis chapter 8. And if we just put up my very flowerful or graphic that's there, you see that one. And we've been talking about, or just begun to talk about, seven steps to the harvest of your choice. Seven steps to the harvest of your choice. You are already walking these steps. You are already doing this. I'm just simply bringing it to our attention and making us aware of what we are doing in our lives. In fact, this is producing for us every single thing that we have today. It has come by avenue of this process that I call seven steps of the harvest of your choice. And I do have the words good or bad there. We have a choice for good or bad. Now, put up my next graphic, the one everybody has in their hand, if you would. The seven steps, if you can put, there it is. And if you want to scroll it in a little bit bigger or whatever on the top left-hand corner, you're welcome to do that if that's something you're able to do there. But notice there are seven sets of boxes that are there. Actually, you're going to see nine. But the two on the top left and the two in the bottom are your choices. You won't take both of those roads. You'll either take the top two road or the bottom two row. And then you'll get into the last five boxes that I have listed there where I contain these seven steps to the harvest of your choice, good or bad. We began just briefly talking about this the last time we came together, just introduced it. And so look in your Bible, Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22. The Bible says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. What we have is a principle laid out in God's Word that you and I have read, found, discovered, whatever you want to look at it and see, or the way that you might think about that. It's there, and so now it is in our life. We know something. If we don't know anything else in life, here's what we do know. As long as the earth remains. How many knows the earth remains? Somebody say amen. It's obvious. We're on it right now. We're on this earth. So the rest of this passage of Scripture in Genesis 8 verse 22 applies to us right now. What is it telling me? Seed time and harvest, two things, planting and then reaping of that harvest, sowing and reaping as we sometimes say, cold and heat, experienced a little bit of heat today, but cold and heat, summer and winter. We're going to be moving from the summertime we're in, headed toward the winter. Between there, we'll go through the fall. Summer and winter, day and night. There's always day and night on this earth. There'll always be day and night throughout God's universe, throughout through time and eternity. There'll always be day and night. None of these things shall ever, ever, ever cease. They always work. You can always count on, if it's daylight, it's not going to be long before it's going to get dark time. You can count on it. The fact that if it's cold, it's not going to be long till the seasons will change and we will have heat. It's not going to be long before we'll go from summer to winter. And it's not going to be long before you go from your seed time to your harvest. It always works. In fact, it works whether you know it or not. It works whether you may falsely think that you're not applying it, because you are applying it. I am applying it. Every one of us is applying into these principles. It's inescapable. It happens continually and always in our life. And so in looking at that and seeing what it's talking about, I began to see many years ago, in fact, probably late 90s when I began to think about along these particular lines, and begin to see these kind of things that, well, God has a certain thing happening in his plan for our lives and in the plan of this universe. And what we think sometimes is we just, you know, we bow down our knees and we cry and pray and we scream, whatever we do, and holler at God, I want this, I want that, I need this, I need that, help me, and all these kind of things we'll try to do and just think maybe one day out of the blue God show up and say, okay, I think I've heard you scream enough, I'll go ahead and give it to you, or I think I've heard you pray enough, I'll go ahead and do it, oh, I'm in a good mood today, and so I guess I'll do it for you today. Oh, no, but for you, you'll wait maybe a year. Let's see, what would be a good time for you to wait? Let's make you wait 3 years and make you wait 5 days. You know, God doesn't work that way. The Bible says in the book of Acts, chapter 10, and also in the book of Romans, chapter 2, verse 38, it tells us that God is no respecter of persons. He doesn't treat one person any differently than he treats another. He doesn't say, you, I like you, I don't. No, he treats everybody exactly the same. It's his nature to do so. The Bible tells him, Malachi 3:6, I'm the Lord God of Malachi 3:8. I change not. Hebrews 13:6 tells the same thing. And so when we look at both of those things, we recognize God is not a changing God. As to his nature, he treats us all the same. And so when we're looking at what's going on in our life, it's happening for a reason. It's taking place for a purpose. Not that God sits up in heaven and says, this is my divine purpose for you. This is my divine reason for you. The reason and purpose it is happening for is what you've sown in your life and what you're now reaping. That's just absolutely bottom line of what's taking place. None of you have a garden that didn't plant one. And if you planted a garden and you have a garden today, it's because you planted it. And it's the same way in your life. You're no different anywhere else in the process of time. You're where you're at right now because in the past you planted seeds that got you to where you are at right now. Where you're going to be tomorrow, you'll be there because what you're planning in your life today is going to take you to the tomorrow, your future, which is representative of the seed you plant today. And so that's a divine principle. Now then, how does this happen is the question. How does this thing happen? We're talking spiritual things here, and we're talking physical things here. We're talking mental things here, emotional things here, relationship things here. How does it actually happen becomes the question. Now, here is what you have before you on the left top-hand corner. Notice, God is a spirit, John 4 and verse 24. God is spiritual in nature. He's not flesh and blood like you and I are. He is spirit. He does have a soul. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, God said, my soul will not have any pleasure in the backslider. He does have a soul, and he does have a spirit, and he does have a spiritual body because it's been seen many, many times. You and I are made in the image of that spiritual body, the Bible tells us. We're made in his image. And so, but God is spiritual in nature, in fact, of who he is. The only way for you to talk to God is you must come into that spiritual plane, that spiritual place. You won't speak to God through the realm of the five senses. You won't speak to God through just seeing him. You say, I hope God shows up. I'm looking for him. No, that's not where you find God, through your natural eyes. You don't find him. I wish God would speak to me, and you're looking for God to say something through your natural ears. That, too, is not where you find God. Yet you are a three-part being. Do I have that chart up? You are a three-part being of spirit and of soul and of body. And I don't think I'm making it any larger or not, but maybe you can see the big one in the middle. But if you go to the far right here, this is a thing I put together over many years of extensive research and study and that kind of thing. The body is what gives you world consciousness. I contact my world through this flesh, man. That's how I do it. This is in the world right here, this podium, and I hit it with my flesh. Right there, and I can, but my spirit didn't hit it, my soul didn't hit it, but my flesh did. I contact my world. My world is contact through this world consciousness over here of what I can see and what I can hear, what I can smell, what I can taste, and what I can touch. All those are the ways that the world speaks to me and I interact into my world. If I go to the far left-hand side of my chart and I see my spirit realm, and I see there, I don't see any of those five senses in the realm of the spirit. We read in the scriptures concerning faith, we walk not by sight, but we walk by faith. And so the eyes of my spirit man are not the eyes of my flesh man. The eyes of my spirit man is faith. The eyes of my spirit man, the way I see, the way I walk, the way I talk, everything in my life is the area of faith. Let's look at the middle. In the realm of the soul, we have this thing called imagination. Now let's put it together. Come to the body. Well, I can see every one of you in here, and I see what's taking place in this building. If I close my eyes, I still have an image in my mind of what all of you are doing and sitting and looking like and what this building looks like. That's the image in my mind. That's my imagination. The image on the inside. I'm in my soulish man when I see that. The mind of the soul, I'm in my soulish man when I see that. But when I go to the eyes of faith, the eyes of faith that the Bible tells in 2 Corinthians, when I move to the eyes of faith, it's not what I see. Why? We're not moved by what we see. We're not moved by what's around us. That's not how we live our lives. And if you're trying to live a spiritual life based on can I see it, can I touch it and taste it, you're nowhere near the realm of the Spirit. And you got big problems. And so if you want to move into the realm of your soulish man, you'll go in that area of imagination. And then on the inside, you can do things. And so from that imagination, you can become happy or depressed or sad or sorrowful or gleeful. All those things happening on the inside. Because you've seen somebody sometime, two persons in the exact same experience outside. Something could be happening. You could go to Disney World. Naomi wants to go to Disney World. Maybe we'll get her trip that direction. And so you could go to Disney World, and I'll guarantee you can go to Disney World and have people having the time of their life and have other people walking around depressed. Disney World's the same. It's the same. But something's different in the heart, soul, and mind of those two persons experiencing the same thing. I mean, wow, it's clear. But when we as Christians, what do? We walk by faith. I have a good time everywhere I go. How about you? Say amen. Why? Because I'm not moved by what I see. I'm moved only by the word of God and not by what I see, right? And so we're not moved by what we see. We're not moved by what we touch. We're not moved by what we feel. That doesn't determine our happiness, our joy, our peace, and our relationship with God. My faith does. The joy of the Lord is my strength, Scripture tells us. And so you could follow each one of those over. Hearing, I can hear you with my ears right now. I can hear what you might would say or do or move around. Or when we say turning your pages, and, you know, some of you might be doing this. If we've been in the church many years ago, we'd hear pages ruffle, 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 ruffle. That kind of thing. I hope you had a Bible, and if you needed to, you ruffled it, okay? But still, today, you don't hear those pushing and clicking the things like that. A little bit different kind of experience. But I can hear something here, and I can hear a song, you know, that might be sung right here. I'm not under the curse. I'm not under the curse. For sickness, I'm health. For poverty, wealth. I'm not under the curse. I know the words of that song, but I can stop singing it, and in my mind, I can recall it. And in my mind, just then, I sung the song in the area of my memory. I remembered what I'd heard. You're now in your soul when you get to your memory. And then when we go to God, it's not what we hear with our ears. It's not what we remember that we heard, or say it sometimes like that. It's the revelation. God speaks to us by revelation. That's the ears of the Spirit. Revelation. Now, I could go through all five of these. I call it the five senses of the three-part man. I could go all through those who wanted to. Last time it took me a year and a half to do it. But I could go through every bit of that, and it gives us a real good understanding of who and where we are. But I said all that to say this. In John 4, verse 24, the Bible says God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. You're not worshiping God unless you're worshiping in the spirit realm. Through faith, through revelation, through your perception of God, through your discernment of God, through your fellowshipping with God, that's where you're worshiping God in the realm of the Spirit. Now, a lot of times we think we're worshiping God when we're over here in the body. Wow, did you see so-and-so? They got up and danced on the piano. You can dance on the piano if you want to. That's okay. Just don't break it, all right? But you can dance. You know, that's okay. That's an outward expression, hopefully, of an inward worship. Hopefully. And we're flesh beings. Some of this stuff sort of flows out. But what I see out here is not your worship. I've seen people in church just like this, all kind of people. Sometimes I'll see people in church, and they could be doing this and that. And at the end of the service, they don't have a clue what I preached about. I've seen other people sitting like this, look at me just like that. And I thought, boy, they must be mad at me for something. But they got more out than the other person that was doing all the waving and jumping and hollering and screaming. I mean, you know, all that. So you can't go by the outer man. When you worship God, it's an inward thing. That's why you say, well, should we lift our hands when we praise? Yes, we should. I think the Bible teaches us we should. Sure, we should. Can we dance before God? Yeah, sure, dance before God. But you're dancing and your hand lifted and our shouting and whatever we do by itself, only in the realm of the flesh, is not worship. If that is an outgrowth or an expression of our inner man who is excited and caught up in the presence of God and that naturally flows in our body, of course, it's worship. Of course it is. Of course it is. And so we make that distinction and we see it. But to worship God, it's a spiritual thing. You know, I just don't feel like God's anywhere around. You're over there in the flesh. You're in the flesh. You don't want to feel like God's anywhere around? Go on a 40-day fast. You won't feel like nobody's around. I mean, you know. Yeah, try that one time. I mean, you want to kill the flesh, man? I mean, somebody, oh, wasn't it glorious? No, it was the pits. I mean, you know, when they talk about different things like that. So, you know, we're not in the realm of the flesh, in the realm of the spirit. That's where God's going to speak to you, is through the realm of the spirit. He's going to speak to you in that voice of the inner man, the spiritual man of who you are. Now, we looked at that in John 4 and verse 24. And look at Genesis chapter 3. Look real quick, just turn there. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. The serpent, you know, he came in and he spoke to Adam and Eve. And he told the woman, what did he say to the woman and to the man there? The woman said unto the serpent, verse 2, Genesis 3, 2, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, of the fruit of the trees which in the midst of the garden God said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. She's adding to the word of God on dangerous ground. Verse 4, and the serpent said to the woman, you won't surely die. You want to recognize when the devil is headed your way? It's when he says you won't surely die, when God said you will. Okay? Now, that's not something that happens out here in the eyes of the spirit out here. It's what's going on the other end of your life, the spiritual man. That's where the devil is trying to get to. But he's going that direction through your flesh. It comes out through your flesh. Verse 4, the serpent said to the woman, you won't surely die. Verse 5, God doth know that in the day they eat, your eyes be open, and you'll be like gods, knowing good and evil. And the woman saw, notice the three things she sees. She saw that the tree was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desired to make one wise. In other words, it's just everything appealing to the flesh. That's how he spoke to her. He appealed to her through her flesh, man, if you will, humanity. He appealed to her through the realm of the flesh. Satan comes to us to tempt us, to test us and try us through the realm of the flesh. I don't want to pray today. Why not? I don't feel like it. My feelings told me. I don't want to read the Bible. I'm too tired. Who's tired? My flesh man. I don't want to do this. I want to do that. You know, all these kind of things, he appeals to the flesh. I want to do that. That feels good to do that. We had that saying come out of the 60s, if it feels good, just do it. I mean, why, you know what? You know, why have any ambitions or things inside of you that are not fulfilled? If it feels good, just do it. Whatever. If you want it, just have at it. All those kind of things. In life. And that's not the way we are to live. But that is the way that Satan comes against us. Now, when I saw this yesterday, I'll show it to you. In Genesis chapter 3, I've never seen this before, but I'll show it to you now. In Genesis 3, verse, when the woman saw the tree was good for food, verse 6, she went that way of the flesh, the devil's talking to her. What happened? Verse 7, their eyes were open. They knew that they were naked. The first thing they recognize is something about the outer man. Not the spiritual man. Not the soulish man. Our outer man doesn't have, we are naked. We don't have any clothes on. Nobody else had clothes on, right? They know they were naked. But anyway, nobody had clothes. Something else is going on here when it happens here. And then notice what happened. Verse 8. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, Adam and his wife. Or look at verse 7. I'm sorry, I skipped verse 7. The eyes of them both were open. They knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. What was the fig leaves hiding? Their spirit? No. Their soul? No. They were naked, and they sewed together fig leaves, and they covered the parts of them that would have told you and I they are a man and a woman. That's what they hid. So from the very beginning, the devil has trying to get man to change his identity. He started it right then. It was identity theft, first of all. Could have been intellectual as well. But identity theft that he stole from them. But now he's trying to steal the identity of what God has made them. Because what we see in Genesis chapter 1, the scripture tells us in verse 27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he them, male and female. They put those fig leaves on to hide their maleness and their femaleness. So this stuff that you see today, when people say they don't, you know, they're changing, they identify as this, identify as that, Adam and Eve said the same thing. The devil just ain't got nothing new. He's just running the same scam he's been running now for 6,000 plus years. That's what he's doing. And when you see that, you can know. And he does the same thing to us, and attempts to do it as Christians. Because the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And when you live sub 2 Corinthians 5, 17, when you live below that privilege of all things have been made new, old things have passed away in your life, and you recognize you're a new Christian, the devil tries to steal your identity. You're nothing. You're a nobody. You don't please God. God's not happy with you. God doesn't love you. And here's why. Because of who you are. And the devil attempts to steal our identity on a daily basis. Every one of us. Some of us, he has went this far as like Adam and Eve and trying to steal their maleness or their femaleness. That's what they hid. That's what they said. We are not anymore what God has made us, because God made us male and female, but we are not this anymore. And for that sin and the other sin that they committed, whether in the garden, they're kicked out of paradise. And so if you want to lose things in life, it starts with losing your identity of knowing just who you are. When the devil comes against you, if you think you are a weak, frail, spiritual Christian, so to speak, and you have nothing within you to combat the enemy, the devil, you'll run from him. If he can get you to recognize or think that in your life, that you are powerless and you have no ability to overcome the devil in your life, and the word doesn't work, and the Bible's not true, and prayer is not effective, if he can get you to think those things, he changes your identity. From the overcoming child of God that you are to the weak, powerless person that Satan can control and make your life miserable. Let's don't buy the lie. Somebody say amen. Keep your identity that God has given you. Don't change it. I saw that and blowed up in my heart just a couple days ago. I want to show it to you. The devil speaks to you through that outer man, through the flesh. That's the way he's coming towards you when he speaks. So you can see. Now, you got a choice. At the top, you can listen to God as the Spirit, or you can go to the bottom and you can listen to the Satan through the flesh. That's the two avenues or the two voices that are coming our way. Now, we saw then in the second box where God is concerned, and really every way we'll see it. In Mark 4, verse 15, and these are they that are which are by the wayside where the word is sown. And when they have heard, Satan comes immediately, takes away the word that was sown in their heart. The word of God is God's method to speak to you. Now, I don't really like saying one, two, and three parts of this, but for our understanding, maybe I'll say that. But really, it's all combined in one. When you read the word of God, you are reading the revelation that God has given us. Somebody said, I want a revelation from God. Start reading Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. Right there, you're getting the revelation of God. You've already got revelation. That's not what I'm talking about, Pastor. I want to know that I know that I know. That comes as you read the word of God and not anywhere else, because this is where it's coming from. And so it's the word of God that is the revelation. But if you want to break it up in two parts, you know, you can do that if you want to. I don't do that. It's the same thing. God is just as spoken word voice. It's just the same as his written word voice. There is no difference. God is his word. In the beginning was the word, and the word with God, and the word was God. John chapter 1, verse 1. That's what it tells us. And so this word is that. And so when God speaks to us, he's speaking to us through the word, not through the flesh. He doesn't say, Leon, wouldn't it be really nice? Wouldn't it be really nice, Leon, that you know, I'm going to call you, for example, to pastor a church and you'll never have a weekend off the rest of your life. Wouldn't that be nice for you? He didn't say that. And there's no appeal to the flesh. He never said anything like that. But what he did say to me was, Leon, wouldn't you like to please me, your father? And wouldn't you like to observe that calling that I placed on your life and honor that? And the gifts of calling of God are without repentance. Leon, wouldn't you like to do that? And so he speaks to me through the word of Almighty God. He speaks to you the same way. That's how he's talking to you. That's how you're going to hear him. And I know some people say this, well, I was going down this direction in my life and I hit over here and I went up to this door and that thing was just closed. And so I just took that not to be the word of God and I just walked away. That wasn't the will of God. And they let a closed door stop them from enjoying the blessings of God. Or they went somewhere else. So that door was wide open. So I just rushed through it. And who knows? Whether God wants to go that way or not, I don't know. Has nothing to do with the word or the flesh or the door. Has nothing to do with that. That's not what we're living by. We worship God by spirit and truth. So God speaks to us to do something, and it doesn't matter after that what it looks like. It doesn't matter what it sounds like. It doesn't matter after that. We're living by the spirit of Almighty God. That's how he's speaking to us, through his word that he's given us. Jesus said in John 6:63, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. His words are spirit. He's speaking to us that way. And so that's how we hear from him. Now, the thing about it is this, in the area of Satan, let's go one more. Let's drive a little bit, another nail on this thing. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let me show you this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So you can just know that you know that you know that you know that you know. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. The Bible said, as it is written, I hath not seen. Eyeballs do not see, nor ear heard. Doesn't come through your eyes. It doesn't come through your ears. Neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. How many has ever heard that verse before? Somebody say amen. We say it a lot at funerals. It's true. I mean, it has its truth, but we need to read some more to it. But it's true. It's true. You don't get those kind of things through your physical eyes or your physical ears. You do not live a spiritual life that way whatsoever. And you don't know what's out there, what's not out there through that method of what you're seeing or what you're hearing. But notice verse 10, and we have this connection to verse 9. But, this preposition leads us right into it. But, this being the case, but God hath revealed. If you notice, that's why I've got revelation right there. When I talk about the hearing, that's why I have it right there. God hath revealed. God hath revealed something to us. By his spirit, not through your eyes, not through what you hear, not through what you taste and touch, not those things. He's revealed it to you through your spirit. That's the way God is speaking to us, through the spiritual part of who we are. For the spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. And even with man, what knoweth the things of a man except the spirit of man? Your spirit is your knower. Spirit is a part of you that knows. Soulless realm is part of you that feels. Spirit, a part of you that knows, has connection with God and the spirit world. Spirit man that knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Now, we've received not the spirit of the world. We don't live based on what the world's wanting to say to us, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. You see, if you live your life based on circumstances, if this pans out or if this works out or if this feels good or that feels good, you'll go all kind of crazy directions. You won't know which way you're going because feelings change. Feelings come and feelings go. Feelings are fleeting, as one writer said. And so they change. You don't know. Yeah, you might feel good about it one day. Tomorrow you feel bad about it. I mean, you know, those kind of things. How many have ever went out and had a wonderful meal and just honestly probably ate just a little bit more than you should? Somebody say, amen. Yeah, come on, get real. And right after that, you said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going on a diet. And you felt like you didn't have to eat again forever, right? Until 4 hours rolled around. 4 hours later, you changed your mind and said, this diet ain't what I thought it was going to be, you know. I must not be ready for this thing. And so you can't live your life by your feelings. Notice verse 14, the natural man. See that guy right there, natural man in the middle, soulish man? The natural man. He doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. If you want to feel this or feel that, or, you know, your imagination, your memory, conscience, reason, affections, that's where feelings are. If you want to have that in your heart and your life, and you're thinking, that's wow, man, I just felt goosebumps all over my body. Oh, Lord God. How many of you ever felt goosebumps? I felt a few in my life. How about you? Goosebumps are okay. And that's an outward manifestation of the body, but it's not whether God leads or guides me, whether I feel a goosebump or not. It's not, has anything to do with that. I'm not going by that. Not at all. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. I can't depend on him to hear from God and say, that's what I ought to do. The natural man doesn't do that. They're foolish unto him. Neither can he know them. Because they're spiritually discerned. That's why you have some of these people that have hid themselves with the fig leaves and trying to change their identity and say, this is what I feel like I am. They're in that natural man. And they're not feeling the things of God. They're feeling the things of the world. That's what they're doing. And that's why, to them, it feels, temporarily anyway, or that day or that minute or that hour, feels right to them, okay? Because they're not in the things of God. They're not even worthy at all, I think, you know, and they live their life based on that. And so, what man knows the things of the Lord? Is that the mind of the Lord? That is, may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. As a spiritual Christian, our mind is the mind of Christ. We are not living in the realm of the soulish or how we feel. We're not living in the realm of the body or how it feels and what it wants to do. We're living by the Spirit of God. And that's how God is speaking to us. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Let me show you something. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus, he's going into his ministry. Why? He is called of the Father God to come to this world and to preach the gospel of the kingdom, to introduce the world to the gospel, and then to die on a cross for the redemption of mankind. All of that is there. And you can even see Jesus when he's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane saying, Father, if you will, let this cup pass from me. What's he praying for? His body's saying, I don't want to die. Soulish man, I don't want to be crucified. That's natural. We all got a nature. Nothing wrong with that. But what does the Spirit of Jesus pray? Nevertheless, Father, not my will, but your will be done. That's where the Spirit comes down at. Not me, but you. Not me, but you. And so in Matthew 4:1, as he's beginning his ministry, the Bible says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit. Notice he's led of the Spirit, capital Spirit, led of the Holy Spirit. Into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. I would have to be led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, wouldn't you? I would have to be beaten into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Because I don't want to be tempted of the devil, and I sure don't want to go in the wilderness. Right? Come on, say amen, somebody. I mean, all of you enjoy padded pews, say amen. Right, we know. And so the flesh likes things. It don't want to go in the wilderness. And it sure don't want to be tempted of the devil. And so it must have been the Spirit that pushed him out there into this arena of warfare so Christ overcomes the devil and the enemy's adversaries against him and emerges with the power of God. Never did a miracle until after this period of time. 30 years of age. Never did a miracle until he comes out of this time of 40 days of fasting and prayer and he's anointed with the Holy Ghost and he comes out of that. Then you see miracles popping loose everywhere. But not before. What happened? Every one of us are like that. You want to be successful in life. You're going to have to face, if you will, that devil that's against you. And you're going to have to win. If you're trying to help somebody else win and you haven't won yourself, no, you're not even in the battle. You think you are. Think. Mind. Natural. You think you are, but you're not. You remember those seven sons of Sceva in the book of Acts, chapter 19, when they go out and they try to cast out devils? And he said, I adjure you, devil, come out in the name of Jesus. That's a good name. Come out in the name of Jesus that Paul preached about. Paul's a good preacher. Problem was, is the devils didn't know the men that were doing the prayer. If they had read in the book of James, chapter 5, they would have found out that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Not these bunch of heathens trying to cast out devils naturally, as they were doing. And so it's a real deal. This stuff really does work when you really do it. But if you don't, you just play in a game with yourself. So notice verse 2. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. In other words, he's in the spiritual thing before God. He's fasting. What has he done for 40 days and 40 nights? He shut down his body. He shut that body down. Body, you'll not eat till I say eat. You may want to. You may holler. You may scream. You may cry out at me, as you're now doing. Hungry, hungry, hungry. I'm hungry, hungry, hungry. You're not eating until the end. And that's what happens. When you shut down that body part, think about it, I got 15 items there. When you shut down the body part, then you're only dealing with the other 10, 5 in the spirit and 5 in the soul. And so you've cut out a third of your opposition when you do that. That's what makes fasting so very powerful. I mean, you find out who you are. You find, hey, I got a spirit in here. I didn't hardly know that before because all I've been doing is what my body told me to do. Feeling like it said feel, acting like it said act. But there's more to me than just my body, and it's in here. And I know me, and I know who I am. And now I'm, oh, wow, I'm hearing God now. I'm hearing the Lord speak to me now. His voice has become clearer and louder, where before my body was taking up all of that bandwidth and all of that space in my life to where I couldn't hardly hear God. He was speaking, but I couldn't hear him. See, fasting doesn't change the mind of God. Fasting changes your mind. Changes who you are. Changes who we are in life. God's the same all the time. He loves you. When God's speaking, and some of us he's hollering at real loud, we just not hear him because all our flesh is in our way. And our body gets in our way. And Jesus said, I'm going to get this out of the way in 40 days. Well, what happens at the end of this 40 days? Afterward, he's hungry. Notice, afterward, he is hungered. After the 40 days, he's hungered. If you begin to fast 3 or 4 days, I mean, you're going to say you're hungry. You're really not. But you're going to say you're hungry, and you're going to get the headaches and something like that. And then 4, 5, and 6, you're going to get very, very weak. And then 7, 8, 9, 10, it's sort of see a little transition come. It's an icky feeling. But somewhere around day 10, 11, 12, your body's going to flip over and start truly, truly eating the fat off your body. And it does. You're going to feel like you're getting stronger then because you're still eating then. You're just eating the fat off your body instead of the fat off the plate. And so it's sort of coming in your life. You're getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And what will happen when you do a full and complete fast, some people it could go longer than 40 days. Or some people, might be not quite as much. But if you do a full and complete fast, your hunger will return. And when that hunger returns, your body says, okay, you're not going to feed me. I'm going to start eating out your organs. That's what your body says. Right? Lord knows. I'm going to start eating out your lungs. I'm going to start eating out your heart. I'm going to start eating out your intestines. I'm going to start eating out your spleen, your pancreas. I've got to have something to eat, your body will say. And if there's no food in it and it's eat up all the fat reserves of your body, then we call that starving to death, right? See, these precious little children sometimes around our world, and God forbid if they're in America, but around our world, don't have anything to eat, and they're literally dying. I mean, what a horrible way. But that's what the body said. The body said, I can't live without eating something. And so afterward, his hunger had returned. Jesus had went through a complete fast. His hunger had returned. And at his weakest point, physically, at his lowest time, nobody was around him to lift up his soulish man. He didn't need it this time, but nobody's around him to lift up his soulish man and encourage him. Go on, Jesus. Just 2 more days, you'll be at the end of this fast. I mean, go on, Jesus. Nobody's around him. He's in the wilderness. He doesn't have any input through the soulish man. He's not having any input out there through the physical man. It's all against him now. And the only thing left is him and God in the realm of the spirit. And that's what has happened at the completion of his fast. And he is now hungered. And then, verse 3, then the tempter came. Whenever you get hit in life, in your physical man, or in your emotional man, your natural man, the middle, your soulish man, whenever you get hit, some biggest blows you can get hit, expect the devil to show up. He's going to get you when you're down. He may have been part of getting you down. I don't put it all on him. Because remember, whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Some things we brought on ourselves. Somebody say amen. We do. And when life hits you and hits you hard, and you help beat your own self on the head with those battle sticks as well, expect the devil to come. He's not merciful. He's not kind. He's not on your side. He doesn't love you. He hates you and everything you stand for. You were made in the image of God, and the devil wants to mar and destroy that image in your life any way and every way he can. If he has to mutilate your body and cut parts off of your body as a female or as a man and totally destroy the nature of who you are inside your heart and mind, he'll do it and not care at all. And he'll have tons of people who are greedy and are out just for money to make those processes happen. Other people who are nothing but wicked and get in parts of that as well. Other people are so messed up they don't know where they're at. And he'll rally them all together to destroy mankind. The devil doesn't love us. And when you're down at your weakest, you can expect the devil to come in and crush you that much even more. Hit you that much harder. Do everything he can to break you, to destroy your life and who you are. That's what he tries to do. Try to do that, Jesus. He comes to him. What he's going to do, he's going to attack Jesus. Look what he says. He comes to him, and he says, if you be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. You're hungry. Your flesh is hungry. You want something to eat. You're the Son of God? No big deal for you. Turn these stones into bread. Feed yourself. You won't be hungry anymore. See, the devil's first appeal toward Jesus is through his flesh man. You got to break that. That's the way he comes. He doesn't start out in the realm of the spirit. He starts out in the area of the flesh. That's where he's starting at. That's his beginning place with us. And so you and I ought to be careful about life. I've always tried to, you know, do my very best to not be lazy. I enjoy it, you know, maybe laying down on the couch, you know, Sunday afternoon, maybe Sheila and I there watch a movie or something like that. Or, you know, that's okay. I'm not saying not do that. And I'm around. I enjoy doing that. And Sheila, would you get me a glass of tea, please? And, you know, all those things that we guys do sometimes. And Sheila's got a, you don't know her. We'll be sitting there together on our love seat, you know. And we're sitting there maybe doing something, and I'm about to get up. And when I get up, then she says, Leon, would you bring me this? She was waiting for me to get up. She wanted that 10, 15 minutes, 20 minutes ago. But she waited for me to get up. I'll tell you what, I got her figured out by now. That's what she's doing. I ought to have her figured out. October the 26th will be 50 years. But anyway, so maybe I got her figured out on it. But, you know, the devil is going to go through that flesh, man. And if you get to that point where you don't do nothing but take them naps every single day and you don't work and you don't do this and you don't apply yourself and you don't grow and you don't increase and you don't continue to learn and you don't continue to study and you don't continue to do work effort type things, I mean, you got some trouble. What we used to call idleness is whose workshop? Even the world knew that, didn't they? Even the world knew that. And so the devil attacks through that realm of the flesh. He said, get some bread to eat. But look, he goes a little bit deeper. Verse 5. Then the devil takes him up to a holy city, sets him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you be the Son of God, cast yourself down. It's written. He'll give his angels charge concerning you, and their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. Now, notice that he continually is using the word against Jesus. Backwards it is, but he's trying to do it. The devil will rationalize things out to you. He'll try to explain it to you just like he said, you know, to Eve. Did God really say that? And he's saying to Jesus, well, you know, God's going to protect you. And so it goes at another level. He finally goes after him again. In verse 8, he takes him to an exceeding high mountain, showed him all the kingdom of the world and the glory of them. Wow. You can be somebody, the pride of life. You can be somebody, Jesus. He already is somebody. But the devil's wanting to say, you can be somebody. Wow. You know what? If you'll just worship me, look what he said. Exceeding high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world, the glory. He said, all these things I'll give to you if you'll fall down and worship me. I'll give them to you. He had the kingdoms of the world at that time. The devil did. They were in his power. And he said, I'll give them to you, Jesus, if you'll just worship me. Jesus, with the wisdom of God, says, then Jesus said unto him, get hence, Satan, for it's written, you shall not worship the Lord your God, or you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shalt you serve. We don't serve anybody else. We don't worship anybody else. It's the Lord God only. If the devil is in it, flee from it, run from it, don't do it. I've heard people say, well, the devil's after me. Well, you know, if you know, how's he after you? He's telling me to do this. Well, you got your answer there. Don't do it. Why would you do it? If you know the devil's telling you to do it, why would you do it? He doesn't love you. He's not on your side. He's trying to kill, steal, and destroy in your life. Why would you do it? Once you know that, the battle's won, really. You just need to do what you need to do. And then verse 11 said the devil left him and angels came and ministered unto him. Now, if you go a little bit further in the book of Luke, chapter 4:13, it says this, the devil left him for a season. Just because the devil left you don't mean he ain't coming back. Somebody say he's coming back. And you need to be ready, jam-packed, full of the Spirit of God and the Word of God and obedience in your life. You need to be jam-packed, ready to go. But I'm saying all that to get you to see this bottom part of my chart that I've got. Go back to my other chart. The bottom part that Satan uses the flesh and senses, that's where he's headed at. And so when you can see things happening in your flesh life like that, and you can see him come in those directions, you know he's trying to make an entrance in your life. And if you will let your flesh dictate what you do in life, or if you obey your flesh, then you're going to be in trouble and your harvest is going to be bad. You have to say no to the flesh man. You have to say no to the body. You've got to. You've got to. And if you don't, the devil will take whatever small things in life where we say yes, and we do something, whatever say yes to, some of those things in our life that are natural for us. I mean, you know, given the choice of eating one or the other, how many would rather eat food that tastes good and food that tastes bad? Would rather eat the food that tastes good, right? But if all the food that tastes good is all the food that is bad for you, you got to learn to sort of cull off some of that, right? Sort of back away from something. You got to make some decisions. Or else your body will take that and use it against it and bring destruction to it. That's what it's built to do. This earth is not. That's what it does. That's what it does. All right. Look with me, Mark chapter 16. Mark 16. Let's start moving to box 3, behind curtain number 3. The third one. Man's spirit receives the word by an act of his will. Notice I got a capital word and a lowercase word. The capital word is what God is saying to you. The lowercase word is what the world, the flesh, and the devil is saying to you. You can receive both of those. And we do. In life, we will make choices which one of those words we want to receive. Do I want to receive the word of the world? Well, it's just my life. I'll live it any way I want to. You don't have a right to judge me. Okay. I won't judge you. You can live your way. Or do I receive what God's word says? That God is the judge of all the earth. And he will judge us all. And every man shall give an account of himself before God. Romans 14:12. And so that happens in our lives. God is our judge. While mankind say, I don't have a judge. You can't judge me. No, you got a judge. We all got a judge. His name is the Lord God Almighty. And he is our judge. And you and me personally, judge is not quite. But we can read what the judge said and have enough sense to know who it applies to. It's not a hard thing. We don't judge of our own heart or spirit. We judge from God's word. And so you have a choice. You can take God's word, capital W there, or the lowercase word, the devil's word, either one. And this is how it's going to work. In Mark 16, verse 15, Jesus told the disciples in the book of Mark, the last 8 verses there that or people have talked about or over the centuries, trying to say it's not in the Bible, but anyway, it's there. Mark 16, verse 15, he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Everyone receives the gospel preached unto them. They receive the plan of God, the kingdom way of living preached to them, and then something's happened. Now, what are you going to do with it? You know how it works. Now, what are you going to do with it? I faced that many years ago when I learned that if I borrow money from the bank, I'm going to pay interest on the money I borrow and give it to the bank. Then I discovered, well, hey, I'd like to be the bank and let people give interest to me. The way that would work would get rid of my debts and have investments in the bank. Then I reversed the curse is what happened, basically. And so, but that was a choice. I knew both ways how it worked. It was a choice to work one way or work the other way. And so you can have the choices in life. The gospel is preached. The word is given. You can do with it what you will. Notice verse 16. Jesus says it. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. God works on your choice. You choose to believe, be baptized, you'll be saved. But, he that believes not, you'll be damned. It's your choice. You can be saved or you can be damned. It's your choice. The same word is preached to all of us. And so, I can let my flesh man rule my life and I'll be damned. Or I can let my spiritual man rule my life and I'll be saved. That's the two differences. We have these choices in life. And that will determine, the first step, determines how your harvest is going to work out. Because the Bible tells you what, Galatians chapter 6, and verse 7 and 8, it tells us that, doesn't it? You know, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever man sows, that shall he also reap. He that sows to the flesh reaps what? Corruption. He that sows to the spirit reaps what? Life everlasting, doesn't he? That's your two choices. That's your two choices. We've all got them. Jesus is saying exactly the same thing here. And so that will determine in life where you go. You could make a decision. I mentioned finances. I don't want to get off on that this much. But you can make good financial choices and have good financial harvest. You can make bad financial choices and have a bad financial harvest. Same thing. You can do the same thing in your body. You could treat your body wrong, eat stuff you shouldn't eat, do stuff you shouldn't do, smoke this stuff, you know, take this, shoot, whatever you do. All that kind of stuff you can do. You can do it if you want to do it. But your body is going to pay a price for what you do. If it's bad, it's going to enjoy the benefits for what you do that is good. It's so very, very simple in life. All your problems just got solved. Somebody say amen. I mean, really, it's not hard. It is not a hard thing. It is not a hard thing. And so that's what he's saying. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved. He believeth not shall be damned. Now, we can go back and we can look. And we could go to Genesis 2:17, where Jesus told him, there's all these trees you can eat of them, but if you eat of that tree of knowledge of good and evil, you're going to die. That was their choice. In Genesis 2:17, man had a choice. Man always has a choice. You never, ever, ever, ever lose your choice. You always have one. That's Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. And if you go into the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 22 and verse 12, it also ends the book in the last chapter with you having a choice. Jesus said, I come quickly, my reward is with me to give to every man according to what his work shall be. And so whatever your work shall be, that's it. That's it. That's your choice. That's your choice. And so we start out the book in the Bible, 776,000 words in the Bible. We started out 31,101 verses in the Bible. You started out. That's your choice. You've got these choices that you can make in life. You had it when you came into this world. You'll have it up until the time that you leave this world. And so all that Jesus is judging our lives based upon that. It's always there. What did Moses say? He said, if it seems evil for you to follow God or the gods on the other side of the flood, do whatever you want to do, but choose you this day whom you'll serve. Joshua said the same thing when he took over leading from Moses. He said the same thing. You got a choice. Choose this day who you will serve. David said in the Psalm 138, he said, I will choose. I will choose. My choice is I will choose that I'm going to worship God. That's my choice. And it's yours. It's our choice. We have those choices. Now, if you choose to operate in the flesh from this part of that, rest the way out, my little chart I've got here, rest the way out, you're just living out your bad harvest. You're just living out your bad harvest. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. Once the devil knows this is how it works. Oh, I wish some people knew as much as the devil knew. He knows. 2 Corinthians verse 4, chapter 4, verse 3. Paul said like this, if our gospel is hid, if it is hid, to them that are lost, in other words, the lost person, in my mind, the reason he's lost is because the gospel's hid to him. He doesn't really, really, really know, and he certainly doesn't believe that there is a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. Or if there is a hell, or if there is a heaven, or if there is a God, or if there is a devil, you know, I mean, they get so messed up, they don't hardly know anything, so it's all hidden to them. Verse 4, in whom the God of this world, little letter God, Satan, in whom the God of this world blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Why are they lost? Because they're blinded. They don't comprehend. They do not see. They do not understand. Satan hath blinded their minds from the gospel. Nobody in their right mind would make a step into hell for all eternity. Nobody would do that knowingly. They do that because they are deceived by the great deceiver himself. Go to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. I'm getting to bring to a close. Revelation 12 verse 9. Notice it. Revelation 12 verse 9. In the middle of the tribulation period, the last 7 years of this age that we are now in, which is happening so quickly and is ending so rapidly, the Bible tells us, and Jesus said it, as it was in the days of Noah, So shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. What was happening in the days of Noah, sons of God, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 6, came to this earth, marrying the daughters of men, producing these giants. But there was this interdimensional thing happening of these fallen sons of God that were coming into the earth and producing these giant rays. Those kind of things were happening. And anytime you see something happening in the earth, and you see stuff happening on the earth, you're going to see a great spiritual thing happening in the heavenlies. Go back to the time that Jesus was born. What did they saw? They saw angels in heaven. They were rejoicing. They were telling us what was going on. They saw stars in heaven. We saw a star. That's why we came here. Things happen in the heavens. Things happen in our atmosphere whenever something great is about to take place. There's this corresponding thing of sin prevailing and just, you know, taking out the masses. And at the same time, we see the movement of God that is intervening in our world. And we're seeing it even now in the book of Revelation chapter 12. When we read that passage, we see that the devil is going to be cast down to this earth. Not yet, but he's going to be in the last 7 years of this age. But as we approach that time, we're seeing things. And the Bible is telling us that in the heavens, there are signs in the heavens that are beginning to take place. Do you know, just a couple of weeks ago, I don't know if you saw it or not, but they did the congressional hearings on UFOs, and they changed the name of it now, but something else, anomalies, that they sort of changed it to. They want it to be a little more pliable so we can accept a little more. But all of this stuff that they're tracking and the videos that they released and the things that's happening and this stuff that they're wanting you to believe are creatures from another planet, are they? I don't know, but I do not believe that they are, but I do believe they are creatures. I believe that they are interdimensional beings. I believe that they are exactly what the Bible says in the last days, as it was in the day of Noah when the sons of God came down. I think there are fallen angels now that we are seeing glimpses of them in our skies. And interdimensionally, we are seeing that, and it's happening more and more and more to the government now, admitting things, admitting that they've seen this and have this and this footage and all these. It's a strange thing. This world, I mean, this was a congressional hearing that took place all day long about 2 weeks ago. I mean, it is wild out there now. We are in the last days. When you see things happening and people again putting the fig leaves on, hiding their identity and using this kind of stuff, this craziness that's in there, we're in the last days. I've never been one to try to scare somebody to an altar or prayer, or never done that. I've never have it all of my life. I'm not trying to do it now, but I can tell you now, this is it. I've heard some preachers want to get very sensational just for the effects it might have at the time to do kind of things. I've understood that, tried to shy away from that, but yet still stay in the truth. But we are at that time now. This is it. If you're not ready to meet God, you need to get ready. Online here, we have people come on Salvation on almost a weekly basis online as well. And so you need to get ready. This is it. It can't get much worse than what we're seeing right now. This whole thing is about to go kaboom before long, I'll tell you. It's out there. But what we're looking at when we see how Satan himself, what he does with his word, here's how he gets his word into. Because nobody would take that step into the portals of hell knowingly. Notice what Scripture says in Revelation 12, verse 9. The great dragon was cast out. When he's talking about cast out of his place of authority in the heavens. And that old serpent called the devil and Satan. I mean, in Dave Ramsey's words, is John being clear to us? I think he is, isn't he? He's making it pretty clear who we're talking about. The dragon, the devil, Satan. What did he do? He deceives the whole world. In King James language, said deceiveth. Not deceived with an E-D on it, but deceiveth means he has been deceiving. He is still right now deceiving. In other words, that's what it's deceiveth. He's in a continuation of deceiving. Which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out unto the earth. And his angels cast out with him. That may very well be some of the stuff that we're seeing as a preliminary of this begins to happen in the earth that we're at today. So what about these mechanical things? Read the book of Ezekiel. Read that. Look at that contraption that talked about God wrote in the book of Ezekiel. It's there. I mean, you know, anyway, here it is. And verse 10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength. And the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them for our God day and night. The devil himself working against our hearts and our lives, our spiritual man, our thinking, our memories, our past, our present, our aspirations toward our future, our goals, our dreams, constantly coming against you and coming against me, trying to get us to reject the Lord God, trying to get us to walk away from him. And if we won't fully do that, try to get us to become an ineffective Christian, to become powerless, that not be turned on to God, not be dedicated to him, not have a commitment toward him. All those kind of things. And he's making progress that I hate to admit, but you can look at it over the last number of the years, particularly since 2015 in America. Since from that time to this, you can see it rapidly beginning to decline. And it accelerates. You think it couldn't get any faster and any worse? I mean, read the book of Genesis. Read in Genesis in chapter 19 and chapter 18 and 19 when God talks to Abraham and goes down to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Bible says that when those angels came down to this earth and they came down to get, you know, Lot and his family out of Sodom before God destroyed it, before that happened, then the scripture says that the Sodomites or homosexuals that were in the area and the town was filled of them came to the door trying to have those kind of relationship with that angels. That's what they wanted. But read the two phrases which jumped out against me this week. Those two phrases was, they came and all the people of the city, young and old. Not just 18 and over. Young and old. Is it any doubt as to why the drag queens won't inside of our school districts and our libraries with little children, young and old? Today, while they say we want tolerance, they're past tolerance. They won't accept us now. They want you to love everything they're doing and just say it's the most wonderful thing in the world. While that might be where they're at right now, they're going to go down a different level to go after your children. 8, 10, 9, 11, 12, 3, 4, there's going to be no limit to what age group they're going to be after. As it was in the days of Lot, Jesus said in the book of Luke, young and the old were participating. We in the last days like you ain't ever seen before. We are in the last days. God is rapidly bringing this thing to a conclusion. Notice it, verse 11. Verse 11, what happened when this deceiver, notice verse 12, 9, the deceiver, the word he brings toward you is a lying word. You know this. I've said it over the years. He can't make you do anything. Right? I love Flip Wilson. Got a wonderful life story for him. I love Flip. He was crazy. I liked him. But he always said, no, the devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. Well, the devil does tempt you and offer you all kind of choice and all kind of, but he ain't making you do nothing. That final choice is yours. The final answer is yours. I mean, he'll play it up and offer you the sky, the sun, and the moon, and everything else, stars above. He'll do it all. But that final choice, but he deceives it. So then how's he going to get you to head your way to hell? Or how's he going to get you to become an ineffective Christian? How's he going to get you to be powerless in prayer, powerless in the word, not devoted to God? How's he going to get that to happen? He's got to lie to you. Because he can't make you do it any other way. So he's got to deceive you. It just don't matter if you don't go to church anymore, America. What he says to them. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Well, something sure has changed in the last 10 to 15 years as church attendance has rapidly went down all across America. Doors are shutting as it has rapidly went. Something has changed. If it didn't matter, I wonder what happened. I mean, as church attendance has declined, wickedness has increased and has prevailed. It does matter. The devil said, it don't matter. It don't matter if you don't get into the Word of God today. It don't matter. It doesn't matter if you don't pray. I heard somebody say the other day, wrote me a little note. All I did was wish them happy birthday. That's all I did. They wrote me a note back and said, well, God is sovereign. It'll be happy if he wants it happy. It'll be sad if he wants it sad. I said, you idiot. Bad birthday then, if that's what you want. Take your choice. No, I wouldn't give him a bad birthday. I'm not cursing and blessing up and come out of the same mouth, according to James. I'm not going to do that. I still wish him a happy birthday. But anyway, the world hasn't gone nuts. They hasn't gone crazy. They're deceived. Verse 11. They overcame him. Three ways to overcome him. They overcame. If you're at block three here, receiving the word, you're going to have to make a choice to receive God's word or the devil's word. How do you stop from receiving the seed of the devil? Here it is. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Translation, you ain't strong enough to overcome the devil by yourself. You're not strong enough to overcome the devil in your own humanity. You can make a few decisions in life and some things he can't force on you, but that soulless realm of you, you're not strong enough to do it. You cannot. It takes the blood of the Lamb. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Ain't nothing on planet Earth can do that but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You got to start there. You got to start there. Everything I say and teach you about all the sowing and reaping, it all starts right there. It's got to be right there. It's got. Second thing. And by the word or the confession of their testimony. Now you know why I talked about confession for 6 weeks, whatever it was. Didn't get done. The word of your testimony. The word of your testimony. You got to begin speaking the word of Almighty God. Not the word of the devil. The word of Almighty God. Speaking what God says through his word. And to trust anything you hear in public or secular life, which may be some of the word of God floating through in people's lives, test it out with the word of God. Check it with the word every single time. Check it out with the word. You want to be on safe ground. And so the blood of Jesus is applied to our heart. Secondly, we stay with the word of his testimony, which is ours now. And thus, that puts us in this capital word in block three. So we start now right with the word. That's our foundation. With the word of their testimony. And third thing, this is where you got to be. Jesus showed us this when he hungered after 40 days of fasting and prayer. He said, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Lives as in flesh man. If you love your flesh man, hey, we all, you know, none of us want to have sickness or disease or pain or suffering or hard times in life. No, I'm not talking about that. None of us want that. And we want to be healthy and strong, and some of us got some problems in our life, and we would like to be better off than where we're at right now and some things. Well, I'm not talking about that. But when he talked about they didn't love their lives unto death, they said, if it takes it, I'll lay down my life for the gospel's sake. I will live and I will die on this word of my confession that I've given right here. That's what he's saying. And my flesh says, well, you know, you're just not going to do it. I'm just not going to do that. I don't think so. I don't believe so. I'm not making that. I don't think God wants me to make that kind of sacrifice. God loves me and he wouldn't dare ask me, you know, to do this, that. You know, all those kind of things. And they just love their life so much. Well, look, I think everybody has a right to do this and do this and do that. And, you know, if it feels good to me and all this, you know, I'm going to go my own way. And all this, you know, people go crazy. People go crazy. I was thinking the other day, I don't know, got on this thing about Adam and Eve. You know, they were the original nudists. They were in a nudist colony of two. Right? Right? I didn't know the other day. I didn't know what Naomi was doing, but it seemed like she was trying to join the club, AJ. I don't know what was happening. So these little children, you know, sometimes they do that, don't they? They try, but you know what? I think people want to say things like it. The problem is, you know, nudist colony worked in Adam and Eve's day before sin came. But once sin came, no, it ain't gonna work for you after that. Put yourself some clothes on. Cover yourself up. Somebody say amen. You don't look that good uncovered in the first place. Somebody say amen. You seeing this with clothes on? You don't think you don't want to see it without clothes on? Okay. But see, the deception, don't love your lives unto the dead. Take care of yourself. Do the best you can for your physical. I'm not saying that. Do that for your physical body. But don't, if it comes to a choice between your enjoyments of life, your pleasures of life, what your body craves for, what your soul wants, and those kind of things in that realm of your life, if it comes between a choice and that and God, choose God every time. That's how they overcame. You won't win. You won't overcome the devil as a compromising Christian. If there is such a thing, you won't overcome the devil living a life of compromise. How much of you does God want? Everything. All of you. Soul, mind, and body. He wants everything you've got. Some people complain sometimes about giving or tithing. Forget that. God wants everything you've got. Every dime, dollar, every. God wants all of you. And if you'll give him all of you, he'll give you back plenty for you to enjoy. He'll give you back plenty for you to provide for your family and your children, bless other people. He'll just bless you till your cup runs over. He'll do all those things for you. But it's only if you lay it all down. When Michelle and I were married this, 50-some-odd years ago when we were married then, when we did that, I got all of her. She got all of me. That's it. Nobody else. We didn't bring anybody else into the equation either. It wasn't Leon and all them hundreds of, you know, girls that he always told Sheila he had. Which he didn't have none of them. He didn't have none of them. But no, it's an individual thing. You get all. Get all. I want all your heart. Every bit of you. All of you. And that's what God wants. And if you want to be successful in life, you want to start out right with the right seed, right word, do those three things. Blood of the Lamb, word of your testimony. Don't live your lives. Sold out to God, really what it means. How many sold out this morning? Say amen. I believe I'm talking to a church. Yes, amen. Stand up with me this morning. Father God, in Jesus' name. Sold out for him. Sold out for him. Uncovering the works of the devil. You need to know your adversary. Know your adversary because of the roaring lion. He runs about seeking whom he may devour. And he may not devour us. Amen? He may not. We have seen clearly. With all that was in us, we'll choose to take the right direction. And in my weakness and frailties of this life, depend upon the grace and the mercy of God to empower me to make the right choices. Somebody say amen. Hopefully we all can agree with that. Let's lift our hands toward heaven. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we are your children and we are here this morning, Lord. All of us stand level on this ground this morning. And Father, truly we all are level at the foot of the cross. You love every one of us just the same. Let us recognize, Lord God, the great power and authority you have invested in mankind on this earth to choose and to make our choices. May we make them wisely. May we make them spiritually. And may we make them biblically. Almighty God. Pray this prayer with me. Say, Dear Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your great love for me. Look into my life, my heart, anything you find in me, not like Jesus, wash it away by your blood. Make me whole, make me clean. Fill me with your spirit to overflowing in the name of Jesus. Heal this flesh body from my head to my toe. May I walk in your strength and your life. Provide all of my needs as you always do. May my table be filled with abundance. May the blessing in my life overflow to others. In the name of Jesus, somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this faith-filled message. Please connect with us at our website, gospeltabernaclechurch.com, so we can continue to be a part of your faith walk. And if you're listening today and you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, now is the time to do that. Now, today is the day of salvation. Pray this prayer with me. Dear Father, I believe you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for my sins on the cross. And you have raised him from the dead that I might be alive in him. Jesus, I confess you are Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, welcome. You're now in the family of God. You're a child of God. Connect with us. Let us know if you prayed that prayer. We want to be right there alongside you as you walk out this journey of faith in Christ. God bless you.